Well, deportment originated as a piece about mothers and daughters, how mothers train their daughters to be what they will become.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the South. That was a big deal. And as I thought about growing up in the 60s, race became part of that picture very quickly. And really what became part of the picture was bigotry. Mm-hmm. And in the South, there is a polite way to be bigoted and an impolite way. And it is basically all about language and codes. And everybody knows when you've crossed the line. I don't think Northerners would know, but... And you teach your children. There's a huge amount of humor. Vocal traditions are hugely important in the South. Humor and vocal traditions. My father was amazing at all. And you teach your children through humor, through stories, through whatever. And they sort of pick up the code. And the whole piece went by inches. The idea was you went by inches and the audience would laugh and it was all funny, just like it is in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And then Daddy, who was played by Mark Dendy, would get drunk and cross the line. And he crossed the line with homophobia. And he crossed the line with racial homophobia. And it's one line, one sentence, and we knew that's the fulcrum of the whole piece, where it shifts and the audience is horrified. It happened every single time we performed it. We knew when it was coming. Mark said the line and everybody stopped laughing. It was as if a bomb had gone off in the theater. But what happens is then the audience starts going back in their heads at everything they've been laughing at, and they realize we had gone by 1-inch increments.
Right.
And that one put them over the line. And they realize they're already 6 feet down on the ground. It's amazing to be on stage and be aware of the audience losing you on stage for a minute as they go back in their head what just happened. And they're mortified. And then how they deal with the mortification of that. So then down the road, we're touring this, and we end up in this university in the South. And we come back to New York, and a week later or whatever, I get a letter in the mail that was sent as many copies she sent to the president of the university, the head of the fine arts division, dean of fine arts, the head of the student committee that chose us, maybe the chaplain, I don't know, as many people as she possibly could, and I was, of course, on that list. And she opens the letter out of context with our line that is the line that changes our piece. And she is demanding a refund, full refund. She is saying she is so thankful she didn't bring her students from her elementary school where she teaches vocal music. And she can't believe that this university allowed these bigots to get on stage and practice this filth. It was a pretty powerful letter. I realized what Karen Finley was going through at the time, because people would always take... They would always call her the chocolate-smeared naked lady. You know. And so, of course, I had to respond. The university also sent me their response, which basically said, well, you know, we can't deny these people their First Amendment rights. And anyway, the students picked it. And I was like, wow, you cowards. You cowards! And so I had to write a really strong response. And not emotional, which I did. And I sent it to every single person that she had. Nobody responded to me. But I just picked that letter out as we were developing the website and went through it recently. And I wouldn't have changed anything I wrote about it, anything. I pointed out to her that she missed the point, but I didn't say that. I didn't say she missed the point. I just said why we made the piece and why that sentence changed the whole balance of the show. And then later, Daniel Safer was an intern with me at the time. He said, you know, we need to take advantage of this woman. I think you should take her quote, because she had this amazing quote, completely grammatically incorrect quote, which said, "Why was I submitted to this smut?" And he said, "We need to take this and make a t-shirt out of it." So we changed her name. We kept her profession, which is a vocal music teacher. And we quoted her. The front says Jane Comfort and Company. The back says, "Why was I submitted to this smut?" It has been a hit to this day. And I thank this woman very much. I think her alias is Mary Jane Baker. I thank you for your outrage, and I thank you for forcing me to define why I made a piece about bigotry.